Calvary Temple in Winnipeg. We bring you the regular Sunday night broadcast conducted by Pastor Watson Argue.
Calvary Temple, Winnipeg's evangelistic center, is on the air.
I see the light of the city so bright, my home.
With Alec Hart leading and Bessie Oak at the temple organ, the young people of the radio group sing, Lead Me Gently Home.
Gently,
About 1,600 people crowded into Calvary Temple tonight. There was an overflow audience out in the vestibule of the church. We had a great evangelistic service. Mr. and Mrs. Elwin Argue, young musical evangelists, were with us bringing the gospel in sermon and song. And now my brother, evangelist Elwin Argue, comes to the microphone and he's singing After. Gospel Fireside Hour from Calvary Temple, Winnipeg's Evangelistic Center, Ruth Paul and Alec Hart sing Deeper.
Joy. just how blessed is the worth of heavenly gain. Deeper in that holy light, till I'm lost with Christ in God.
Now we hear a song that is a great favorite with radio listeners, An Evening Prayer, sung by the Gospel Fireside Hour male quartet. Let's consider the heavens, shall we? During the French Revolution, an atheist said to a Christian, "We are going to pull down your church so that you will have nothing left to remind you of God." "Ah," said the Christian, "you will not only have to pull down the church, but also blot out all the stars before you can destroy all that reminds us of God." Astronomers tell us that could we reach the highest star that we see above our heads, we would instantly discover new skies, new suns, new systems, perhaps far greater than what we can see from here. And they tell us that were this earth annihilated, it would diminish the heavens about as much as you would diminish the seashore by taking away just one grain of sand. Let us look at our solar system. The sun, the moon, the earth, and the planet. You know, the sun is very big. So big that they tell us that the earth could go into it 1,400,000 times. There'd still be room left for a few moons. They tell us that the sun is 93 million miles away from where you are right now. Mercury is the nearest planet to the sun. Then comes Venus, and then the Earth. The Earth, we are told, spins on her axis 19 miles a second. You're whirling that fast right now. And at the same time, the Earth is speeding around the sun at 68,000 miles an hour. Careful, you don't slip off. I guess we all feel like thanking the Lord for the good old law of gravitation. Mars is next, and then Jupiter, and then Saturn, and Uranus, and then Neptune is the farthest planet in our solar system. It's too far to be seen with the naked eye. Astronomers tell us that it's nearly 3 billion miles away. Think of it. Do you know how much a billion is? Well, it's so much that it's almost beyond our power to conceive how much a billion is. If you were to start in now and count at the rate of 100 a minute, day and night, and never stop until you counted 1 billion, here's how you'd get along. You'd count 100 in a minute, 6,000 in an hour, 144,000 in 24 hours, 52 million in a year, and it would take you nearly 20 years to count a billion. I know, I tried it once, or at least I figured it out. Well, think of it. Nearly 20 years to count a billion, and astronomers tell us that Neptune is nearly 3 billion miles away. And yet, it isn't so far. That is, if you could travel as fast as light travels, 186,000 miles a second, if you could do that, you could jump on a ray of light at 11 o'clock tonight. And in just a few seconds, say hello to the man in the moon. In 4 minutes, tip your hat to Mars and jump off at Neptune before the roosters crow, and then get back here in time for breakfast at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, the stars. The astronomers tell us that the stars differ from the planets. They say that the nearest star is 10,000 times farther than Neptune, and that the North Star is 14 times farther than that nearest star. They say that traveling at 100 miles an hour, it would take you 409 million years to arrive at the North Star's Union Depot. Then the astronomers tell us of a star called Arcturus. They say that the circumference of that star is 188 times as great as the circumference of the sun. And then they tell us of another star called Betelgeuse. And they say that the circumference of this star is 1,824 times as great as the circumference of the sun. And they say that this star is so great you could put into it 24 million suns, and 31 billion Earths could go into the same star. Think of it. The astronomers tell us, and Einstein, the famous scientist, says that if you wanted to go from one end of the known universe to the other, and you could travel at the rate of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 168 billion years. Think of it. That makes me feel happy. And do you know why? Because the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, we can't afford to laugh at these astronomers and these scientists and say they don't know what they're talking about. Because, you know, after all said and done, they're able to tell us to the very second when comets are going to appear and when eclipses will take place and when other wonders will be seen in the heavens. Why, when you think of the suns and the moons and the stars and the planets and all these things that God has created and sustained, you can't help but get warm under the collar when you hear about some puny, pygmy, 2x4 infidel who says there is no God. Well, what is man compared to all of this? Not very big, according to Isaiah. Isaiah says that all the nations in the earth are like a drop of water in a bucket. All the nations like one drop. The population of the earth is about 1,700,000,000. Do you want to know how big you would be proportionately? Take that one drop of water and divide it into 1,700,000,000 parts. And then if you can find one of those parts, why, that's you. Not very big in comparison to these stars and planets that we've been talking about, and not very big, certainly, in comparison to the greatness of God. You know, friends, we're like microscopical insects crawling in a multitude upon a planet which, in comparison to the rest of the heavens, is just like a grain of sand. One of America's greatest physicians some time ago said that the product value of the average human body was about 96 cents. He said the average body contains iron, magnesia, potassium, sulfur, lime, phosphorus, sugar, and fat, and that they would value about 96 cents or less. So, according to that great American physician, your body isn't worth very much. You're not very important, I guess, unless the Lord does something down in that heart of yours. And you know, we're really a powerless people. If the earth stirs in her sleep, our cities fall. If the wind blows with all its strength, our ships are wrecked. If the cloud withholds rain or pours it out too freely, we have a famine. If the earth refuses us gold or yields it too rapidly, our commerce is upset. But you know, God is independent of our help in running his great universe. We cannot touch one of his stars. We cannot control their courses. We cannot increase or decrease their brightness. Down here on Earth, we have speed limits of 30, 40, and 50 miles an hour. But the Lord controls the light that travels 186,000 miles a second. And planets and comets, some of them go 400 times as fast as a cannonball. We have wrecks every hour down here on Earth, but we haven't heard of one yet in the heavens. Now I'm going to say something that may surprise you. As small and insignificant as man seems to be, when we consider the heavens, man is far greater than all the suns and the planets and the stars put together. Why? Well, the stars were in the heavens before we arrived, but we're going to go on and live long after they have disappeared. The Bible says the stars are to fall, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we are to live forever. The weakest man is greater than the most magnificent star, because man has a soul that God put within him. And the glory that God puts in the face of a Christian shines brighter to him than the brightest star. You know, to create a world and to create the universe, it was necessary only for God to speak just a word. But to redeem a lost world, including you and me, it was necessary for God's Son to suffer without speaking, for he opened not his mouth. Yes, Man is greater than all the suns and the stars and the planets because man has a soul. And that's where he differs from the stars and all else that God has created. Someone might say, well, how do you harmonize that statement about the average body being worth 96 cents and the Bible verse that says one person is worth more than the world? Well, it's not the body that's worth the world. This great physician says it's worth 96 cents. It's the soul that God has put in that body. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And if you lose that soul that God has placed there, all you have left is the body worth 96 cents. I heard some time ago of a surgeon who said there was no soul. He said he'd operated on hundreds of people and he hadn't found the soul yet. But such a foolish argument. I'd like to ask him, did he ever find love or hatred or malice or jealousy in there? But they were in there just the same. And do you know why he didn't find the soul? Because had he been able to find the soul like the other organs of the body, then the soul would have been flesh. And when the body would die and go back to dust, the soul would die and go back to dust too. He couldn't find the soul, of course he couldn't, because the soul isn't flesh. The soul is spirit. And when the body dies and goes back to dust, the soul returns to God who gave it and lives on forever. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He's mindful of you. And if you will let him, he'll come into your heart and he'll be your Savior. You know, God is so great that the universe cannot contain him. And yet he's willing to humble himself and come into your heart and be your own Savior. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask that thou bless everyone listening to the broadcast tonight. In the Savior's name, amen. Do you enjoy the Gospel Fireside Hour? I'm very glad if you do. God is making it a great blessing throughout Canada and the northern states. I wish you could read some of the touching letters that come to my desk. Letters from shut-ins, from some in isolated areas, from those who are snowbound, and from boys in the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. It seems that radio is the greatest way of reaching the most people in the shortest time with the gospel. We have a very nice gift for you. And if you would like to have a part in our radio ministry, we'll be glad to send you this gift. Many have been asking for it, but we've never been able to promise it until this week. It is our Gospel Fireside Hour radio theme song, My Home, Sweet Home. It's the song we use coming on the air and signing off every Sunday night. It's just like the radio group sings it, only it has two more verses that they don't have time to sing. And the copies we are sending out are almost sheet music size and have both the music and the words. We will gladly send a copy of this song to every person who sends us an offering for our radio work. We invite you to help us keep the gospel on the air until Jesus comes in the air. When you write, be sure to tell us the station you hear us over. Address your letter to Pastor Watson Argue, Calvary Temple, Winnipeg, Manitoba. If you forget that, just Calvary Temple, Winnipeg will reach us. God bless you. My prayer for you tonight is that you may face this week with courage and strength. And though you travel far, so far, God grant that your path may turn this way again next Sunday night. And now, whoever you are and wherever you are, may God bless and keep you and you and you. Good night.
From Calvary Temple in Winnipeg, we have brought you the Gospel Fireside Hour, the regular Sunday evening broadcast conducted by Pastor Watson Argue.